Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. Another beautiful, oh, yes, well, not so beautiful, but it's Thursday night, and that's my fun night to do my radio show. And during the summer, you may notice that I skip a show or two, but it's because I'm going to do some special promotions for my nonprofits and my sponsors. But without further ado, I want to introduce a person who's become a very good friend of mine because of her beautiful smile and her one personality, Kay Harris, who I met inside Convention Hall at her wonderful store, the Asbury Galleria. So welcome, Kay.
Thank you so much, Nancy, and thank you for having me on your program this evening. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure to have you, and I'm so glad that you wrote that book so that I could have a good reason because, you know, I mean, I would have loved to do the Asbury Galleria, but then everybody else would be saying, well, why didn't you do my store, you know? So I love it. I'll just say about Kay that the things that I didn't know, and I've known Kay for, I don't know, quite a few years now, and, you know, I knew she was a lovely person and so friendly and had a great store. But and I knew she was from Asbury Park for sure. But I saw that, and I went to her book signing at the Asbury Library. So if you want to tell us, you know what? Before I forget, I want to say this: if I talk too much, just interrupt me. It's perfectly, it's politically correct. And so the question I'm going to ask you is this, and we'll do it now and get it out of the way, is who influenced you the most when you were growing up and why?
I would say my grandparents. My grandmother is Catherine Harris, and my grandfather as well, even though he passed before I was born, but my grandmother, of course, shared all the stories. And I guess the reason why I'm such admirers and of them both is both of them had a lot of strength and character, and they stood up for what was important, and they were very involved in the community and wanted what was best for the community, and I would say they were both very outspoken individuals, and I think that it's so important in life, and that's the legacy that they left, and so, yes, those are the individuals that I admire. And as a result, when I wrote my book, From Amistad to the White House, Teachable Moments from 1839 to Within My Lifetime, I indeed dedicated the book to my grandparents. And
I love that.
They were founding members of the Asbury Park Neptune NAACP chapter here.
Oh, okay. Very cool. And you dedicated it to your parents. And
yes,
you dedicated it to
my father and mother both. And of course, I admired them equally. My father was Lorenzo Harris II. And actually, he was the first African American to be voted on the council for Asbury Park. But very few people know that my grandfather also ran for that same office. He didn't make it, but my father did. And my mother was a school teacher in the Asbury Park School District until she retired. She taught at Bangs Avenue School as a kindergarten teacher.
Oh.
And every time we go out, people run into us. Oh, Ms. Harris, you were my kindergarten teacher. And, of course, these folks are 40 years old now, 50 years old.
Right. That's terrific. And also what I loved that you did was you dedicated it to all of the people that have interest and that support the cause, that support
Everyone who made sacrifices struggle for equality, right, and civil rights.
And what you said, though, was for everyone. And that's
exactly
what I heard at your book signing too, is that mm-hmm. as much as your book is, it's fantastic. I read a little bit of it. I read, you know, the beginning of it, that, you know, when it talks about, and then the end. That's what I always do. You know, you have to read the beginning and the last page. And, like, I'm so excited to read the whole book. Lately, I've just been so busy, I haven't had that downtime to do that, but I'm very anxious to. I mean,
you just got the book recently. Oh, you have a little time there,
yeah.
Nancy. And one thing about the book.
Was it two weeks ago?
Yeah, yeah. And it's a fairly easy book because it's a lot of photos. I can share with your listeners how I came about writing this book. I had to do a photo journal assignment for a travel magazine for women of color. And I visited the landmark civil rights sites of the South. And this was in 2004. And then at some point after that, I put together a slide presentation for a Black History Month program. And over time, people were saying, wow, you really need to make this into a book. So it was gradually that it did, in fact, evolve into a book. And as I mentioned, there are a lot of photos. So it captures my journey starting at the Lorraine Hotel, where Martin Luther King was assassinated.
Right.
It goes to Memphis, Tennessee, which isn't the Lorraine Hotel, Memphis, Tennessee, as well as the Mason Temple Church of God in Christ, where he delivered his last speech.
Last speech, everyone. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about that because that last
and I got goosebumps just approaching the hotel and looking at the wreath that still remains on the balcony. It's like, wow, because it's such an iconic image, you know, for those of us who are attuned to the history.
It is.
And in addition, my travels continued on to Money, Mississippi, where Emmett Till was killed, and that was in 1955 when he lost his life.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson, Mississippi, the home of Megar Evers, the 16th Street Baptist Street Church in Birmingham, Alabama, Selma, across the Selma Bridge to Montgomery, and to Atlanta. And I did all of this in 4 days.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yes, it was, and it was a very, very moving experience for me, and even though I think I knew a lot about our history, I did additional research as I began doing my writings, and I learned even more about the backstories and how a lot of these events interconnected.
Right.
And the reason I came up with From Amistad to the White House was twofold. That summer of 2004, I had actually gone, I was in Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, and I went on a tour of a replica of the Amistad ship. And the Amistad ship was a ship that was carrying slaves in the Cuba area.
Oh,
they were trying to transport them from one harbor to another, but then the slaves took over the ship. And that same afternoon, I went to a panel discussion, which was the 50th anniversary of the Brown versus Board of Education. And lo and behold, we had a special guest speaker, and that was Barack Obama, who was a senator at the time. And that was the same summer. Remember the Democratic Convention, Nancy?
Yes, of course. Perfect timing, for you, too.
And it was such.
I was in Asbury Park. I was there.
Oh, were you? Okay.
In
there was so much buzz about him. You know, the speech that he presented at the convention. And every, you know, so there was a lot of excitement to see him there in Martha's Vineyard this summer. And I was sitting within three rows, and I was thinking, wow! Imagine I actually went on a tour of this Amistad ship that morning, and that same afternoon.
Uh-huh.
Sitting within rows of the person who would become the next African American president. It was just so overwhelming.
And then Yes, and then our president came to Asbury Park. I mean, that was
Yes, he did. As a matter of fact, I have a photo of him that was taken by Mike Booth of the Costa newspaper. And it was a really nice photo of him standing right there on the boardwalk in front of the Convention Hall Grand Arcade. And that was in May 2013.
Yeah, amazing. It was amazing. Actually, my friend and I, Trina and I, as you know, Trina, we got all the way up to almost to the boardwalk, and then the police said, you know, you're too late. You can't go up. And so we couldn't go all the way up, and that was disappointing. But we saw everything else, and we saw them leaving. And it was just exciting to be there, to be a few blocks from where he was. And I tried my darndest. I said, but wait, I have a radio show, and I need to get in. There was no parking. Everything was blocked off, and it was. I don't know how they expected people to get there, but you had to, you know, they had everything blocked off, and that's why we got there.
Yeah, you'd really have to have been there, like, earlier in the morning, you know, hours ahead of time.
Exactly.
And that day was like a drizzling rain. And even if you were lucky enough to get there, because there were lots of people on the beach as well as the boardwalk,
It was amazing. It was really amazing. But we saw him leave. I mean, we saw, you know, what do you call it when they have the
motorcade?
You know, the cars that go. The motorcade. We saw the motorcade. And it was just very exciting to just be right there, so close, and knowing what was going on, and then seeing about it in the papers the next day and all over, you know, the internet and everything. It was very, very exciting. So, I met the mayor of former mayor Ed Johnson on the boardwalk right outside of Convention Hall the same day that I met Governor Christie on the boardwalk outside of the Grand Arcade outside of Convention Hall as well. And that was really, really fun time. And Governor Christie, we were talking about music and everything. And then I gave him my CD, and his security people were going, Governor, we really have to go. And they're trying. He goes, oh, no. He goes, I'm talking to Nancy Ryan. She grew up in Asbury Park. I need to talk. And so they couldn't get away. We were talking about Springsteen and about Bon Jovi and everything, and he goes, I'm going to listen to this CD. And his assistant sent me an email and said that they listened to my CD, Ryan Rock, in the car on their way home, and he loved it.
He loved it.
Yeah, and that was really a little, that was very exciting for me, too. And he goes,
well, Nancy Ryan does rock, that's for sure.
Oh, thank you, honey. Thank you. So getting back to you and what you did, I found out that you were with the manager with AT&T for 20 long years before you retired. And then you retired, but you really didn't retire because you went over to substitute teach at Asbury High School and did that for 5 years. And what was that like at the high school? Like, what years were that? What year was that?
2011, 12.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Yeah, 2012, because that would make it 5 years now. I still sub at the high school, you know, for the school district.
Oh, you
we'll
do.
Put it that way. Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, because I'm certified in biology, and my master's was in business administration. So,
cool.
I actually opened up. Started my business, the Asbury Galleria, towards the end of my career at AT&T, because at the time it was summer business at the time. It was only a seasonal situation, and there was a group of us that did it together, so I was able to, and my manager, people at AT&T were very supportive of the business. We even had outings here in Asbury Park. And then they started to outsource the district, you know, the positions to India. So
I see.
Yeah, so anyway, so I did have, I got the store, the business started, so by the time I was ready to retire, was around the same time that the businesses were required to be open year-round, so the timing was perfect. I probably could have tried for another position within the company, but I decided, no, this was a good time to go ahead and make the plunge, so I did retire from AT&T and just invested my time in expanding the business. So right now I've actually had the business for 12 years on the boardwalk. So I started the business in 2005.
Yeah, I must have met you when I soon after I moved here, and I think I've been here almost 15 years. I always say I'm here 12 years, but I think, wait a minute, I'm trying to think of when I came. I don't remember. 2003, maybe? If I came 2003, yeah, that would be 15 years, right? Because it's too old. Well, whatever it is, I know that I was down. I was in Asbury right away. And so I know that I met you a long time ago. I know that. So it was fun.
Yeah, but
I
think we met maybe around 2009.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
well,
but that's a long time.
Yeah, you know why? Because I came here to take care of my mother. And I took care of my mother for, like, almost 6 years. 4 years, really a lot, because I lived with her. I came and I moved her into a bigger place and took care of her. And then after, but then she had to go into assisted living. But, I love all the stuff you have. I have my Tilly Christmas ball. And I have all kinds of things I love to get from your store. You have the greatest little, the greatest items. So, and I have a great thing that says, it's a boat, and then it's got all these fish hanging off of it, and it's perfect, and it says Asbury Park, New Jersey on it, and my dad built boats, so it's on my refrigerator. You always have these coolest little things, you know, the Tilly keychain, which I have two of them, and I love them. Oh, everybody. Yeah, everybody in ShopRite up here in West Wilmington, they see the Tilly keychain, and they go, oh, I want one. What do you get? I said, go down to Sneak A at Asbury Galleria. That's where I said, they go, Tilly. Because most people really know who Tilly is that live around here.
Yeah.
Even young kids. They go, oh, is that Tilly?
They do, right. You're right. I do find a lot of young people are too, and they didn't even grow up with him.
I know it. I say, that's Tilly, all right. And
I'm just so passionate about Asbury Park. And I think what happened there was it was a gradual situation. It's just that I just like taking pictures. And back in the early 2000s, Asbury Park was still kind of just meandering, and we were waiting for it to be redeveloped because everything was kind of tied up with the developer from Connecticut who brought up all the rights. So, and then finally, the courts unraveled it. But at that time, if you go back to the 90s and early 2000s, the boardwalk, it almost looked like a war zone. It was really had gone down and just waiting to be revitalized, let's say. So the Palace Amusement, it was just the building itself was just standing there waiting to be demolished. And, of course, there were folks trying to save the palace and save Tilly.
Of course.
Anybody who rode through Asbury, like, say, even if you're from this area, then you might have moved away. But when you came home, you always wanted to go down to the boardwalk, see what's going on. And it almost brought tears to your eyes to see, what had become of Asbury. But and I was just capturing pictures iconic images.
I was shocked when I came back. I was gone 28 years. I left in my early 30s, and I came back in my mid-50s, I guess, or something like that. And when I went into Asbury, I cried. I cried because I couldn't believe the state of affairs, 15 years ago, what it looked like. And I skated in the casino, and it was just a skeleton of a building. It was all gone, and the carousel. I cried because I used to go on the carousel, every time I came out of ice skating, I would ride the merry-go-round. I loved the merry-go-round. And, of course, all the great the theaters, the St. James Theater, and the just the amusement park itself. I mean, I grew up going in there all the time in the Fun House. I would go in the
Fun House. Yeah, the Fun House. That was one of my favorites. You'd go over the bridge. The air would shoot up. And then there was a big barrel in order to get out of the Fun House.
Yeah,
you'd have to walk
through
the barrel.
Then you'd get the skirt go if you had your skirt on. Yeah, but I loved it. And what else did I love?
The bunker cars.
It was just a fabulous time to grow up. The bunker
cars.
It was a great time. We were so lucky to grow up. And I in fact, remember the time. I remember when they had the, what do you call it, when there's something that goes above the boardwalk and it goes from one side all the way to the other. Do you remember when they had that? Am I just dreaming it?
No, yeah, you're correct. And like the little carts that were on wires that went down the boardwalk.
Yeah, you'd sit on it, and it would take you from one part of the boardwalk all the way up to the from the convention hall to the casino. And it was like the ski, the, when you get on a ski a lift. I don't know what you call them, but that's what they had, and I remember those. And then all the kiddie rides. And all the kids would be down there on the kiddie rides. And, the golf course, the miniature golf course, of course, I'm thankful it's still there. Because I used to love the miniature golf. That was my first date of my life. It was a guy up from New York that came down that I met. And he asked my parents, and, of course, we were kind of chaperoned in a way. And I think I was 12 or 13 years old. And we went and played miniature golf. On the boardwalk, and then go ice cream. But then that was my first job too, and on the boardwalk at Coors Ice Cream. I was like 14 years old.
Oh, okay.
And then I worked at Johnny the Beach Boy at Johnny Aldirelli's. I worked there from 15, both two summers, 15 and 16. Then I went up to Fort Monmouth, and I was working from very young on the boardwalk. I wanted money, that money. Get me that money. I wrote a song, Money Making Place. When I woke up this morning, boy, what did I think? I said, get your head on over, put it. Well, there I go. I do sing on my phone once in a while. Hey, everybody, I'm coming down in the numbers. Get me up there again. Get me up to number two. Go and listen to my CD, Ryan Rock. I was up to number two for so long. Now I'm getting scared. This is for like almost over 4 years in the top 10 country reverb. Now, I just looked the other day, and I'm number 9. I said, oh, my God, because I'm not promoting it. So you have to get back and promote and put on LinkedIn, Twitter, and do promotion. Or else if I go, if I go out of the 10, then I just have to go into the studio again. That's a sign. because I've been consecutive in the top 10, and I was number 2 for
great.
A long time.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, that was really exciting. I couldn't knock out this group called The Rain. Is the name. It's a whole full big band, but I had great players too. But anyway, back to Kay Harris and all that she's done. And like I put in my promo, and I love this little ditty that I said about you. I've got to find it now about if I can find it. If I can find it. Where I bet it's in my – you know what? I put for the complete promotion, please go to my Nancy Ryan Facebook page on my radio – page, or I'm on Saturday Park style. Thank you, Nancy, because on Blog Talk Radio, when I put the whole, and it is, I created an event too, but it might have been in there because it was something about you are Asbury Park. It was something about Kay is, I forget what I put, but it was very clever. And so people will read it. And I love doing the promo. I really enjoy doing it. So.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you giving me this opportunity, and but in terms of, like, Asbury Park, yes, I'm just so passionate about Asbury Park, and so that's one of the reasons why I opened up the store, as I mentioned earlier. It was really, I was just capturing so many images of Asbury, and, we were putting them in frames, and then we're making little ornaments using some of the Tilly images. And
right.
I had an opportunity, kind of like at the ground floor, you know, really when there really wasn't much on the and
are you there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah.
Okay.
And so in terms of the products that I, you know, I'll have mouse pads and mugs and, you
right,
know, my whole emphasis and coasters, and the coasters have a wide range of the iconic images and then the keychains and the magnets. And
I know
also carrying historic black and white photos, vintage photos from Milton Edelman's collection. Milton Edelman was such a dear person. He just passed in April, unfortunately, but he lived a nice, rich life. He was 94 when he passed, but he's the one that had captured a lot of like the old pictures from the 50s and the 60s
of
the Mayfair Theater and the Swan boat rides. And
oh, I know, I know.
Yeah.
And then
also Dorn's out of Red Bank, they also have a nice collection of old black and white images. So the backdrop of my store really was about all of these different historic photos. And just as people used to cry, like you did when you saw Asbury Park crumbling, when it started coming back, I had people come into my store, and when they started looking around at the old images, and it just reminded them of what Asbury Park used to be, and they were just so excited to see that it was finally coming back, people would actually start crying, tearing up in the store.
Right. Yeah,
when all of these, memories started to rush back in.
Exactly.
So,
the picture that really, gets me is all the kids running out of Convention Hall onto the boardwalk, all excited, like a bunch of kids, you know. And that really gets me, that one that you see a lot. But, I love those old black and white photographs. They're phenomenal. But back to the coasters. What I loved about the coasters is you have very many, and you can pick out your own set, and then you have a great little wooden part for it, because I have them. I will not use them, but they're in my living room so that you can view them and look at them, but don't you dare try to put a drink on them, because they're just to look at. Are just to look at. I have other coasters that you can use, and I love them because I got, they're in there, so I can't tell you the ones I got, but I got the ones that I love the most.
Fabulous. Yeah,
you
can always add to the collection, and a lot of people like picking those up as gifts for people, you know, so when they come to Asbury, they really just turn up great gifts.
I think I got conventional. I'd have to go get them, and I don't want to leave my seat and leave everybody hanging like a cliffhanger.
Oh, of course not.
But
and another thing, when we talk about Asbury Park, like you mentioned, you work for Coors, the ice cream. There are a couple of other businesses that have been around, and that would be Mayfair, who's been around probably like for 60 years. So I really admire that business because that kind of represents the history of Asbury Park, and it's a family-owned business that continues to be on the boardwalk. You know, they sell the hot dogs and hamburgers and pork rolls and whatnot.
Right.
And the Mayfair, and then the other one was the Criteria Saltwater Taffy. I think there was also Jonathan's, too. But the Criteria and Jonathan's, I think they were the last to leave the boardwalk, like in maybe 1993, 94. And, however, the Criteria continues to exist. They actually are located in Eatontown, and continue to. And then they finally did come back to the boardwalk a few years ago, and they had a spot in the Convention Hall Arcade. But there's been a lot of movement because they're doing a lot of renovation with the spot, so they kind of, like musical chairs, they were moved to a location out on the boardwalk, but then that pavilion was being renovated, so they, you know, returned to Eatontown. And, in fact, the plant in Eatontown has been continuous. That's where they actually, that's the plant where they make the taffy.
Right.
But
I used to love
when they
that
did
cafe.
Come back
I
to the boardwalk, it was just as a retail location only. So even though they're back in Eatontown, we continue to carry the taffy for them. I mean, every day somebody said, oh, where's the Criterion taffy? And what happened is that when I opened up my business in 2005, this is when the Criteria was not around in Asbury, I had been selling their taffy for a number of years. And and then when they came to the boardwalk, they said, oh, you can continue to sell it. And I said, well, I don't need to. If you're here, that's fine. So now that they're gone again, they reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to carry their taffy again. So I just wanted to share that with your listeners.
Oh, good,
because
that
such
was
a favorite item. And when people walk, you know, they're really looking, oh, where's the taffy? You know, they're so disappointed because they're there and they stumble across it at our place. Yes.
They call it saltwater taffy, don't they?
That's right, saltwater taffy.
Yeah, it's saltwater taffy because it's salty. They put salt in it. It's very good.
Yeah, no, we don't carry it. No, I don't know. There's a whole story behind that, but it's not so much the salt in it. That has to do with
somebody can let me know.
Yeah, that's another story.
okay, that's
but we don't carry the loose taffy like they did, but we have like the package, like the 8-ounce bags of it, and it also comes in gifts, you know, boxes of a pound and a half as well.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yep.
I used to eat, well, I have a sweet tooth anyway, but you know, Coors Ice Cream, that was a great place, and we used to make the fresh squeezed orange juice as well. That's what it was all about. And
we
made our own banana ice cream. We would hit the bananas and peel them and smush them all up and then put them in vanilla ice cream and whip it all up into the vanilla ice cream, and we would have banana ice cream cones. So it was cool.
That
I really enjoyed
sounds so good, Nancy. It's torture just hearing you talk.
Oh, I worked in Steinbeck's too during Christmas time.
Oh, yes, Steinbeck's Department Store. That was an anchor of the downtown area.
I know, you know what
You know,
I
we
mean?
All, everyone
I
went the, shopping at
Steinbeck's.
I was Steinbeck's
the wrapper girl. I was the wrapper girl, the Christmas wrapping girl. I used to wrap all the presents.
Oh, nice.
I loved that job.
Yep.
Yeah, I love
and they also
job.
Had nice displays in the winter in the window for like the Christmas displays.
Oh, it was phenomenal.
Just like they did in New York with Macy's.
They did. It was really like you thought you were in New York City on Fifth Avenue in Bloomingdale's. I remember walking when you walked into that store, and they had three levels of store, you know, stories too. That was a fantastic store. I loved Steinbeck's.
Yeah. And then we had Newberry's.
And they had a little restaurant.
And Green's.
I used to go up and get a salad. I loved it.
Yep, and Woolworth's.
Yeah,
yes,
like
and they
that.
Had like the lunch counters and the electricity.
Oh well, you know, the 5 and 10 cent store was one of my other favorite stores on Cookman Avenue.
Oh yes.
Especially
yes.
the
that
basement
be,
part. The 5 and 10.
Woolworth.
Newberry's.
Newberry's and Green's.
Woolworth, not Newberry's.
The three we had the three
Woolworth?
5 and 10 cent stores. Remember?
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think I remember Newberry's.
Yes,
because
okay, that was the largest one. And it had two levels
one. That
to it.
I like. I think I still have
And that's
dreams.
Where
the
center is today. And then down on Springwood Avenue, we had Fisher's Department Store, Nahan's Shoe Store, the House of Hits Record Store.
Yeah. It was bopping and hopping, too, and
school,
did
you used to go to walk downtown? Like, when we were in high school, we would walk downtown and go to the press box and have lunch there.
Right. Hey, don't even tell me about let's talk about it because I'll get goosebumps again. When I was a little girl, my mother's mother, and for absolute years, and she lived right on Bond Street up from Holy Spirit, so on Fridays I would go there, but that's not the story I'm going to tell right now. I'm going to tell the one about her. Well, yeah, okay, I'll tell it real quick. I would go, and she would open the door, and she'd go, oh, no, Nancy, I'm so sorry. I go, why, Nana? She'd go, it's Friday. I said, oh, she would make me a chicken sandwich, chicken, but a whole chicken, fresh chicken she would make, and make me a chicken sandwich on Pepperidge Farm bread with mayonnaise, salt, and pepper, just like I loved it. And she would make me a big Carnation instant malted milkshake. And of course, we weren't supposed to eat meat on Fridays. But my grandmother was a Jehovah's Witness. So she was like, she goes, well, you need to guys get Tom's place. Well, you need the protein anyway. And God will say, it's my fault. It's on me. But she used to take me to the Monte Carlo pool. Monte Carlo pool was the most awesome pool in the world.
Yeah.
It was a whole city block.
Yes, I know. I have some pictures of that. I guess they used to say that it was the world's largest saltwater pool.
Exactly.
I guess when you do a little research, maybe it wasn't the largest, but it was certainly one of the largest in the world, or the country.
It was a whole city block. I mean, it absolutely was.
However, some of us were not allowed to go into the Monte Carlo pool.
I remember so well. Really?
My mom pulling us up in front of the Monte Carlo pool right at the corner.
Uh-oh.
And then my sister and one of her friends, we started walking towards the pool, and then the manager sees us coming. He runs back in and says something to the girl. And when we get to the door, the entrance, they said, the pool is closed. And we could hear everybody splashing and laughing. And my understanding is that when
terrible.
It did close in 1965, they closed because they didn't want it to integrate the pool.
That's terrible. That was the most phenomenal pool.
It's a fantastic pool, and you have great memories, so I didn't mean to put a damper on things, but I also just want to share understand some of the history of Asbury Park.
You were here, I was here. I was here during the riots. I know what happened. I was young, but I remember. And I remember what it was like, and I remember the TVs, and I remember all the sadness and the horror to it. It was very, very tragic and traumatic for every single person, white as well as black, Hispanic, anybody that was living here in that time, during that time, it affected. And it was horrible. It was really horrible because my mother, like I told you, took us to Fishes, all seven kids of us, to Fishes every single year to get our uniforms. And then we went to the shoe store and got our Oxfords because we went to Holy Spirit Grammar School in Asbury Park. And you're right, it was very segregated when I was growing up. I remember not seeing a lot of black people. And I do remember that. And unfortunately, it wasn't just here. It was, but we went over there. We went to Springwood Avenue and over, and did business and did that. So we weren't prejudiced, that's for sure.
Right.
When I went to Asbury Park High School, it was my real first experience, though, really having black friends, getting back black friends. And, of course, since then, I have many, 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 many wonderful, fabulous, fabulous people that I love, of color. And all colors, not just black people. My niece I better not say that story. I said it that night at the library. But she's like, I want to see the day when nobody has to even say, I always get offended when you fill out an application and they ask you if you're Spanish, black, or white, or I'll go Caucasian. What's the difference between white and Caucasian? It's the same thing, stupid. Take those questions off of the application. What difference does it make?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how crazy I get. So I guess I'm a little bit of an activist myself. riled up about it. I loved Martin Luther King.
One Function Township built their own high school that did pull a large number of people from the Asbury Park School District. And of course, we had all the different sending districts and a sizable population within Asbury Park itself, but gradually people would start pulling their kids out of the public school.
Right.
But
when I
went to Asbury Park, it was probably about 60% white, 40% black. It was, you know, it was pretty well mixed. And,
right. Well, when I went there, it was great. I went there when I was a sophomore. I had gone to Star of the Sea Academy. There were only 14 girls in my class. And I had begged my father. I said, get me out of here. I want the experience. I don't like this. They, you know, so he let me go as a sophomore to Asbury High School, Asbury Park High School. And then the next year, Shore Regional opened up. And they allowed a few schools to go there. And so my mother, and that time my younger brother, who, God bless him, my Irish twin, I call my brother Bobby, passed away now, but him and I transferred to Shore Regional, and I graduated from Shore Regional. But I love Asbury because I took a business course, and it was the best thing for me because I hated school. I really did my whole life. Okay. And when I went to Asbury and I could take a business course and learn, and I took home economics, even though I learned that at home because I was the oldest girl. I learned that from my mother. But I learned how to type. And I'm telling you, that was an invaluable gift for me because I was getting jobs, office jobs, when kids were graduating college and couldn't get jobs, had college degrees, and I
had
all this business.
They didn't offer personal typing at the Catholic schools?
No.
Okay. Really electives.
I learned how to type at Asbury Park High School in my typing class. That's how what I learned. You know what? We're
okay. I hope that you remember for more than just the typing, though, Nancy. Because I thought I had got a great education at Asbury Park, a well-rounded one. That's why I majored in science in college.
Of course, no.
But I think as one of the attendees at the library mentioned at the book reading and book signing, is that one of the issues is that our schools are so segregated these days, and because the communities are segregated. So, as a result, like if you go to maybe Wall Township where it's, you know, mostly white, they don't have an opportunity to socialize and be friends with a diverse population. And that's one of the things we really need to be able to address. I mean, it seems like when young people... when you're really young kids, everyone seems to get along fine, and then as they get older, something tends to happen. So I think one of the – and when we look at the whole nation, we do have some serious issues that we cannot pretend they don't exist because there is a divide.
Well, there's – yeah, definitely. There is with so many different peoples, and it's a very, very sad thing because, you know, well, I don't want to be the preacher, but I am never shy of saying that I believe in God, and I believe that God created us all equally. And, I can say he intended us to be created totally equally and respected and loved and offered. Hey, come on, our Constitution says that. We are supposed to be able to have everything the same. It's not, you know, supposed to be, okay, well, you can have this and you can have that, and you can't have this and you can't go here. I mean, it's baloney. And I hate that profile. I don't like to use the word hate. I dislike intensely when they profile people, when they profile black people, Muslim people, Jewish people, Orthodox Jews, Greek people. I just think it's horrible. No matter what nationality you are, it's got to stop. It's ridiculous.
Right, it's got to stop.
And I don't know when it's going to stop. Maybe I don't know. But I really love what you're doing. And we've come to the end of the show. I only have 1 minute to talk about my nonprofits.
All righty.
Well,
thank you again, Nancy, for having me this evening, and I really enjoyed the dialogue and conversation
wonderful.
With you tonight.
Thank you. The time went so fast, and I just want to say before I let Kay go that, because I'll tell her, well, I've probably told her already, but I have so many great, I have all the great, you know, nonprofits, but I'll be doing a profile, a promo, promo on them, and I'll post it on your page if you don't mind. I always post my stuff on your pages. Thank you. But I want to tell everyone that you can go inside the Asbury Galleria, inside Convention Hall, and purchase this fabulous book and really get it from, like, somebody that knows what they're talking about, that is an educator and an author now, and I'm so happy that you wrote this book. I can't wait to see all the pictures. And you can also get it on Amazon.com. And you can get it on Kay's website, which is www.asburygalleria.com. So go and get that book. And it's a great book to put on your coffee table. Just put in your library. Get it. And also share it with other people. Because it's a very important issue. Very important issue. I'm very proud, too, I want to say, of my niece, Amal. Hello, Amal. I'm going to say loud. Amal Nima, she is Irish Arab, and she is in Washington, D.C., and she is studying law, and she is also a civil rights activist, so to speak. I don't know if she's going to kill me if I said that or not, but I love her dearly. She went to school here. She went to school in Egypt. She spent a year in Saudi Arabia, and she's definitely for making this world a much, much better place, like you are, Kay. So that we can love each other as brothers and sisters like we're supposed to, and you'll make me start crying. I love you so much. Thank you for being my guest. This is probably
Thank
the most
you.
Controversial show that I've ever done because, as you know, I have mostly musicians on. But I'm so glad you wrote this book because I have authors on and photographers on as well and videographers, and you fell right into my lap, and I'm so happy you did. I'll see you soon. Hope to see you soon. And boy, we're having a heck of a monsoon out there.
Okay, Nancy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'll let you go now. Okay.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night, Kay. Well, that was my wonderful friend, Kay Harris, and author of From Amistad to the White House. Please get a copy of it and also tell your friends about it. I think that you'll be very impressed. She's such a wonderful speaker, too. I was just, I just enjoyed sitting there listening to her tell her story, tell it. I love that. And she did a big book signing at the Asbury Library, and I went to it, of course. It was wonderful, and I purchased the book and haven't had her sign it for me. So these are my nonprofits, and I always have to run through them, but I'm going to be doing a big promotion for them in August. But they are Minister Steve Brigham. Oh, and by the way, they've all been on my radio show. Minister Steve Brigham of Tent City of Lakewood, Gregory and Karen Nixon, Helping Hands of New Jersey, Allison Saho, City of Angels Recovery Radio, Bev Cruz, Hit the Streets for the Homeless, Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes, Carlos Rodriguez, the director of the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean Counties. Paul A. Ressler, he is the president and CEO of TUPAC, which is the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation. Mr. Tim McClune, founder of Holiday Express and, owner and restaurateur of the wonderful, right on the boardwalk, the Supper Club, which I love. Patricia Ario, artist, and I call her the Tilly artist. Oh, her art is wonderful. She does such fantastic art. She just recently got her own studio. So please go to her Facebook page, and I have to correct it on my list so that I can, tell you what it is. But just go to her Facebook page, Patricia Ario, artist, and you will find out where her new studio is. And I can't wait to get down there and see her. I know she just moved recently. Philip Richards, director of the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission in Asbury Park. Those are at Memorial Drive, and they have a huge thrift shop as well. And they have many, many wonderful, wonderful meetings there. So it's a great place to go and to volunteer your help with any of these nonprofits because they are all wonderful and you will get so much out of it. I have two sponsors that I just took on. One sponsor last year, Dr. Anna Silman, and she has, this is her third office, and it's called Smiles on Broadway, and it's in Long Branch, New Jersey, and she has given me the most beautiful smile. and now I've been in a few movies now. So thank you, Dr. Stillman. And then I have Dr. David Marin, who is a chiropractor and owner of the Marin Wellness Center in Shrewsbury, New Jersey. And they have wonderful, I've been going there now for physical therapy, and they have acupuncture, and it is a wonderful, wonderful place. It's right off of the Avenue of the Commons. So I'm going to say goodnight to everyone. Until next time, this is Nancy Ryan, a.k.a. Ryan Loft, signing off. Thank you for listening. All my shows are archived for your listening pleasure. Good night, everybody.